go, I'll just take the fries and I'll just throw them in there. This is where that nice golden crunch is going to come in. And there you go. Almost a perfect looking
All right.
fry. Check that out.
Here's one for you. When you dream, one part of your brain is making up the story, and the other one is experiencing those events and is genuinely surprised by the twists in the plot.
Part of your brain is doing all the puppetry, and the other one's just watching.
It's like, whoa, what's going on? Because, yeah, like, you wake up and you're like, whoa, that was weird.
Dude, dreams are strange.
God, I know. What's the weirdest dream you've ever had? Or, like, the most, like, the dream that you can remember the most? I guess, like, the most,
usually
like,
one
dream.
Where I was living in, like, California when I was, like, 12 or, like, 11, and, like, grew up out there. And, like, I always remember running around in my uncle's backyard, and he had, like, racks full of transmission parts in his backyard.
It's always, like, your go-to, like, yeah. reference point.
And it was always, like, and I just always remember that dream because it was, like, I was running in the back, but I couldn't run fast enough like you do in dreams.
Yeah.
I was being chased by dogs. I used to have a big fear of dogs growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a dream. It was a nightmare, and I think it was the first nightmare I ever had, and it's still, like, in my brain. I still think about it, and like what the hell was my brain doing to me?
Mm-hmm.
I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I was just doing like normal kid stuff. Like it was like another day, but it was
a
in
child.
A dream.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But every time somebody looked at me, their eyes, you know how like the static on TVs used to be like black and white, like static.
You mean the white noise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was everybody's eyes. Where it was that black, but instead of the white, it was purple, and it was like flashing. And every time somebody opened their eyes, it was that. And I was like, "Oh my god!" And like I had to run away, and I'd run to somebody else, like an adult or something. And they had that too. And everybody in my dream had that. And I was like,
"It's crazy because I feel like a lot of it when you're dreaming and you have these bad dreams, you basically just like it's like you know what you're scared of,
and so
and it happens, and it's like, oh, you know what else would be scary if this happened,
and that happens, and you're like, no, why did I do that? Yeah, and like." I think that was, like, my first, like, real nightmare that I had as a kid. And I remember it to this day, and it was terrifying.
Have you ever had a dream that's, like, vivid, and it's, like a good dream, whatever, and you realize that you're dreaming, and you start trying to control it, and you start waking up? Like, you're, like, almost not asleep. You can almost feel, like, your body.
Yeah.
But it's, like, you know you're dreaming, so suddenly you start waking up, and then you... Then you lose it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to episode 19, everybody. Sorry for that.
Yeah, see? It happens right on the intros, too.
Road Fries, episode 19.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so back to the dream. I realized we didn't do the intro.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. Is he going to stop? Anyway, yes, dreams. Dude, they're so... When you get the vivid ones that you remember, that's cool because you're like, oh, man, all this stuff happened. And then you want to tell somebody.
Yeah,
but, like, I always have them where, like, I wake up and I'm like, that was a really good dream. And then, like... 20 minutes later, I'm like, what was it?
Yeah. Like, the good dreams, I can never remember past, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But the scary dreams, I'll reflect on them, like, 7 hours later. I'm like, God, that was wild.
That was a wild dream.
Yeah. I had a dream one time that I was stuck in a pipe. Like, it was, like, a U-shaped pipe. I'm going to over-describe it because people can't see my hand movements. No. It was a U-shaped pipe.
Uh-huh.
And I was stuck in the bottom of it. But I had my back toward the inner part of the U, and I was on my stomach at the bottom of the U, and it started filling with water.
Oh, geez.
And it was like the ultimate trapped feeling.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know.
You designed a Saw scenario in your dream?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, and that was terrifying.
Dude, I always like think of like one of my biggest like fears. I guess it's not the biggest fear, but it's just like I always watch stuff about it, and it scares me, so I do it to myself. It's like claustrophobia. Like, people crawling and stuff, and they're, like, genuinely squeezing their body in between cracks and, like...
The people at
caverns,
Spelunk.
Dude. Spelunkers.
Yeah, when they go... Like, what was that? There's that cave in... I want to say Spanish Fork? Somewhere in Utah County. Mm. I think it's in Utah County. That one where the person, like, wedged themselves in, and they got stuck, and they ended up dying in that cave because they couldn't get them out. And they're, like...
Yeah.
They just basically, like...
No, dude.
Ran out of... No, it was, their blood rushed to their head, and they passed out or had a heart attack or something like that. I can't remember.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the people that sit there, and they're crawling through cracks in the ground just to go find, like, caves, and I'm like, no. No, thanks.
No.
I mean, not that I'd be able to do it, but it's... ugh.
Yeah, no. That's terrifying. Then you get like the good dreams that you're like, oh man, that was really good. I wish, like, there's been times that like I've done the, like the fantasy, I wish that was real kind of thing. But like I had one time where I woke up and everybody in like the neighborhood had like won $1 million. Everybody all of a sudden just like had nice things, and like it all of a sudden turned into like a really upper class neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it just, it was something about like somebody found like a huge diamond, and instead of like keeping all the money themselves, they just spread it to everyone. I was like, oh, that'd be super cool.
That'd be so cool.
And, like, yeah. Like, generous. And
money's where you have stuff like that is just like so nice. You're like,
oh, yeah, that's cool. This is cool. And like they just paid off everybody in the neighborhood's house and everything.
And then you wake, up.
Freaking came into a bajillion dollars and solved world hunger and everything, became like super famous and all this stuff. We had to work, but we didn't have debts.
Yeah.
Like, it was working for fun, not working for obligation.
That is a dream, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that would be cool. Like, it wasn't like we came into a bajillion dollars and we were super loaded, but like all of a sudden we just didn't have debt anymore.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Oh, yeah. I think, cover this? Yeah, we covered this on an episode.
Did we?
Yeah.
Terrifying. Cause,
yeah, and because I talked about like how I like intentionally did it for a while.
That's weird, dude.
Yeah. It's a wild thing. Have you ever had a dream where, let's say, you have a project that you want to do and you completed it like super fast, or like you ever have a dream that started a project?
Kinda, yeah. I've had like dreams where like I see like what my garage would look like if I did this or that, and then I wake up and I'm like, that's a good idea. Maybe I should go move some stuff around and like try that. And
yeah. I had a dream one time. I put a koi pond in the backyard. It's still like in the back of my head. I don't know if I want to do it because I don't want to like.
Just seems like a lot of maintenance and work.
Yeah, a lot of upkeep and like.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was cool because like along the whole back fence, it was like it was like long but hooked.
Uh huh.
So it wasn't like pond shaped per se. It was like more like a backwards
like a
L.
Like a little river.
Yeah, almost like a river. Huh. And it just was like that would be cool to have, but I feel like after like 2 months, I would just be over it.
You ever see people? Videos of people that are opening up like the irrigation gates in their backyards that like have been closed for years.
Yeah,
I stumbled across that like lately, dude, and it's like so wild to, they like have the water and then it's like being blocked off by this like wooden thing, and all of a sudden they open it and it's just like rushes through and they're like have water everywhere.
You ever see those videos where the guy makes like the little miniature hydropower dam?
Yeah, out of like sand.
Yeah, they like make it out of sand and then they like cement it and they have like this little like impeller and it turns on all the LEDs on the bridge.
Yeah, and they build like the whole inner workings out of like they do like cement.
Yeah,
they do like the framing and everything and they pour a little bit of cement and like cap it down. It's so weird.
That would be fun to do.
That would be so fun.
That's ultimate sandbox.
Yeah.
Like
miniatures, dude. Miniatures is such a like a such a thing. They're a whole community.
Yeah,
between them and like the Raleys.
Yeah,
the train people.
Yeah,
I know a train guy.
My grandpa gave me a train set when I was super little, and he had like all the stuff for it, and I really wanted to get into it. I really wanted to get into it at the time, but
that's a beat.
I really wanted to get into it, and then it never took because then cars happened.
I like watching them build like the miniature sets with like roads and like other model cars. It looks like they're driving through like a certain
and they
town.
they take like the Hot Wheels apart, dent it up a bit, and paint it to make it look all rusty.
Yeah, make
and
it look
down.
Like it's an abandoned car or stuff like that. Those are cool.
Yeah, like the miniature stuff. Realisms.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like those. Have you ever seen the miniature RCs that they have for those? And like people are driving them like little Peterbilt and stuff with trailers in them, and like they're driving through little tiny roads.
There was a thing I followed, I think it was on YouTube, and these guys they turned it into a drinking game, and they had these two little miniature 18 wheelers, and it would be like one person versus one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have it all set up and they had to like drive it and then back the trailer up, and they had like cones.
Oh, so they had to perform,
and if they hit
like,
a yeah every, yeah and every time they had to hit a cone, they could either take a shot or chug a beer. And then it was just like
that'd be like a fun game to play like at a, like a family party too.
Yeah,
just like have everybody try, and like that'd be cool.
Yeah, and like you had to back the trailer up, or you had to back the semi up, hook up the trailer and drive away, but it was shaped like almost like a paperclip. And so every time they hit a cone, they had to take a drink.
That's so
and
wild.
And then they had to back the trailer up, then take the trailer out, and then pull back out.
Dude, some of the skill to drive those little RC cars.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been wanting to get one, like an RC, like a drift one. But, they're expensive.
Yeah.
It's just another hobby that I don't need.
It's another hobby I can't afford.
Yeah.
All of them.
So what was the hobby you were gonna hit up?
Not like a hobby, but per se, but like
a project. It's a project. So like, more of a project than anything.
So like I like to tinker, you know, build stuff out of nothing. Like I made my little bench at home, whatever. Yeah. And so I've been making trying to find a way to make a swamp cooler because I don't want to buy one.
Fair enough.
So like I got like one of those 55-gallon barrels that I that they were throwing away at work. I took one of those. I've got like a little pump. And that thing, I honestly didn't think it was going to pump that much water.
But it flows.
That thing's... It's made for a 21... It's like 21,000 CFM swamp cooler.
Oh, that's quite a bit.
So that thing throws some water. I think it's at like 3 gallons per minute.
Okay.
So I want to put that on the top of the barrel, run a hose down, but I got to make an adapter with JB Weld that'll run a hose and seal up the part that sucks the water.
Yeah. So it gets,
because right now it's open so that it sits at the bottom of whatever's collecting water to pump out.
Yeah.
So I want to put, I got the cap and I'm going to drill a hole, put a piece of line going down into the barrel so I can fill the barrel. That sucks up the water, shoots it up on the top, and then I'm going to reduce the size on the top of the hose to the size of a mister.
And I'm going to put a mister who? Mr. Claus?
Mr. and Mrs. Claus. A mister, and put that around a fan and just have it.
I was going to say, see if you could get that squiggly cardboard stuff and just have it drip down it. That way you're not wasting as much water. Because if you missed it, you're going to end up having like a
puddle.
Yeah, you'll have like a puddle or a slippery spot.
Well, I've seen like those, they have the portable ones, dude. And like a couple of my friends have them. And those things like night and day when you're sitting around like anywhere that's hot. It's just a fan that sprays. And like it's not sitting there spraying water. It's just like mists it a little bit and it shoots it at you. So it's colder air.
It's a fuel injector.
It's a fuel injection system. But something like that. Like I've been like planning on, I like making stuff like that that becomes useful in the garage. Because the garage isn't like our living area, so I don't need to spend a ton of money and be like...
You don't need to get a central air for your garage. That and I'm just
cheap.
Yeah.
So if I have stuff that works, it'll work out.
Well, that's the thing is, like, we can get away with a swamp cooler in Utah because it's not humid.
Yeah.
But if you were to take that to, like the deep south...
The south.
If you were to take that somewhere where it's, like, super humid, they don't really do anything. Because it's just humid. Because the reason it's cool is
You're better off just putting a fan outside.
Ugh. Thinking on that just sounds sticky and sweaty. Dude,
it is very it's muggy.
Muggy.
That's why, like, I don't like this on and off rain that we have.
I'm loving it.
Because it's like, it's nice until it stops raining. Then it's just muggy.
It's nice until it's not nice. Yeah, I don't know. Do you hear that, that saw that guy's using right now? I don't know if it's going to pick it up on the audio, but there's a guy, like, two houses down from me. Do you see that little shack he built in the back? It looks like an old Western saloon.
Ah, what?
Yeah.
He built that?
Out of nowhere, this guy is, every time I've gone outside, I can just hear him using a circular saw.
He's out there erecting a whole small town.
Yeah, he looks like he has like a saloon in his backyard. I don't know. But that guy, super into projects all of a sudden.
Really?
I don't know. He just got like a weird hair up his ass.
You know what? That keeps you going, dude, honestly.
You know what? The project that I want to do...
Yeah, what do you
want to
do?
That I haven't been able to do?
Talk to me, Goose.
I want to replace, like, 60% of my front yard with rock. I don't want to do that because I don't want to move heavy. Because that's going to be a lot of heavy movements.
Well, see, that's why I'm getting to... Yeah, like...
This yard is just... I'm only watering it because I feel obligated to. It's full weeds. I haven't mowed it in, like, a month. The edging's still pretty good, though. So I did a good job on that. But... If I don't have to deal with my front yard, I don't have to deal with my front yard. Like, the backyard, I want to keep grass for, like, activity stuff.
Yeah.
And for, like, kids and pets and yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
But a front yard, if it was, like, 90% rock and then there's, like, a little section of green.
You'd be all right?
It'd be all right. Because I want to keep, like, obviously I want to keep that tree.
Tulips?
No, not tulips.
Daisies?
They're, like, a little ball flowers. I can't remember what they are. But we're going to take and find that flower. Because she told me, she's like, you need to go up to that front door and just be like, hey, can we have your flowers? But take and plant those up here, some kind of rock pattern. Like, I saw this one online where a dude mapped out his front yard and did like the center section. He had a tree,
yeah,
and then he did like orange rock around it in like a circle, and they did little like offshoots all around it.
Yeah.
In that orange color. And they did gray as like the background, and it looked like a sun. And in the center of the sun was the tree.
That's interesting.
And I was like, if you do like a pattern like that, you don't have to worry about doing your upkeep in your yard because your yard just looks good all the time. All you have to do is make sure the orange rocks stay in the orange section and the gray ones stay in the gray. But I don't know if I want to do like to that level, but it would be cool to have like a two or three different colors of rocks in a pattern in your front yard.
It would just be nice to not have a dead yard in your front yard.
That'd be pretty cool. The only reason their yard's green is because it's been raining. I don't think I've seen that guy water once this year. I think he just straight up said, nope.
Yeah, dude, I gave that up early.
And it sucks because at the beginning of spring, I'm like, oh, I'm going to
so
edge this and so fertilize it and dethatch it and like get it all nice and ready so it's good. And then like they're like, oh, we're not going to have water.
Dude, I aerated my yard, did all that jazz, and it ended up not working out, so I just kind of gave up completely. I'm like, whatever. There's always next year. I'll trim it up.
Yeah, once
the weather kind of settles down and it starts getting a little bit more moist out here.
Mildly moist.
And we have the ability to use more water.
Yeah, because like there was a good 2-3 weeks where I had to come out here and manually turn on my sprinklers because the time I had them set on, there was like no water pressure.
Oh, really?
Like there was enough water pressure to pop like one sprinkler head up. He waters his yard early in the evening when normal people can't, but his yard's covered with trees, so it retains the moisture in his yard.
Yeah.
But everybody else, they have trees in their front yard, but it's not their entire front yard. And so, like, they have to water later at night. And then when everybody turns their sprinklers on it, like...
And you got the losers over there with no trees in their front yard. They're probably living life.
Yeah.
Well, that guy seems like he waters a lot.
What, the guy straight across?
No, not straight across. The one next to him.
Oh, yeah.
That dude's lawn is green.
Yeah, like, they're super green, but I swear they're out there all the time. They, like, live out there.
I think that'd be, like, a good retirement project. Because there's a guy that, like, lives in my neighborhood that, like, on the days off, I always drive by, and he's out there just... He's got his little trash can, and he's out there picking weeds by hand, and he's, like, trims up his yard every day, it seems. Dude, he's dedicated.
Yeah, like, that little island out there, I want to take and rip up all the... Like, keep the plants in, but rip up all the, like, the weed barrier and replace it, because that weed barrier we put down, we didn't know what we were doing. So we just kind of, like, put it in there in sections and... What?
What'd you do underneath it?
Like, underneath the weed barrier?
Yeah.
Like, we'd pulled all the weeds, but do you remember when that was just all weeds when I first moved in?
Yeah.
It was just all weeds. So, like, it's just been a constant fight to just eliminate those.
Mm.
Because weeds are very
robust. The problem is that you plant stuff in it. No, not, like, a problem, like, with me. Like, I don't care.
You got a problem with my plants?
Like, it's more of, like, the fact that you planted stuff there. Like, the ones where you don't do any plants, just a tree.
Yeah.
It's easier to keep the weeds away from that because you just spray weed killer everywhere and it just kills everything.
Well, yeah, and also you don't have like holes in the weed barrier for the
plants. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have that access for soil to like the weeds. And...
Weed barrier is not good for the soil, though.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like you're planting plants underneath the weed barrier.
You're planting plants under the weed barrier.
You're an idiot.
I know. But yeah, like I want to definitely that parking strip that's up against the road, replace that. And then do like a couple squiggles maybe, I don't know. Just take like half my grass out.
I just need to demolish my backyard completely.
Yeah, you got lots of roots.
They're poplar trees, bro.
They're not very popular with you?
No, they're stupid.
They're stupid.
Did you see the Bonneville Sawflies that they had to cancel Speed Week?
Yeah, they had to cancel Speed Week. Yeah, it got rained out. And I was watching these guys drive these trucks through it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's
all salt water.
Like, that's so bad for your drivetrain.
Yeah.
Like, I saw somebody comment on it. It's like, yeah, but these cars are always, they live on the salt. I'm like, yeah, but the truck doesn't. The car might, the truck doesn't.
The truck's on a trailer for most part.
Yeah, and the trailer too, like.
It's a lot of rust. But I'm.
Yeah.
See, and that'd be a good, like, you go out there with. You go out there to the Speed Week, and you have you set up yourself a undercarriage wash right outside of that gate.
Yeah,
and have that way they just and be like, "I'll just wash your undercarriage, just hose it down, get all the salt off of it." So you know what I mean? That'd be a good business.
Oh yeah, for sure. So if you were to start a business, what would you start it as? Like if you were to genuinely start your own business, what would you do? Because that undercarriage thing's not a bad idea, but I feel like maybe somebody's on it already. I don't know. But
Well, like there's this guy that I've watched that he follows race car drivers to like events that they do, like drags and stuff like that, like LS Fest and all this other stuff, Rocky Mountain Race Week, and he follows the whole team around and all the people that race from track to track with a portable lift, and he rents it.
Hmm. That's clever.
Yeah, so all these dudes that are like, oh, I blew my transmission, I blew my rear end, I only brought a jack to do it on the floor, whatever. A couple $100, rent yourself a lift. This dude will let you do all your stuff on right there, and he even offers like a toolbox that he'll let you rent too.
See, that's a good idea, because like...
Or like, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
But like, or there's a guy that does the welding. Like a lot of these guys blow up pipes, or like he welds their aluminum heads and stuff like that, like just so they can keep running.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those events, dude, like people win like $10,000-$15,000, like... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's money involved.
So they want the drive to, let's get this back up and running.
So if you're, like, one of the top 10 and you're in contention for winning, yeah, I'll rent a jack from this dude. I'll have this dude weld my stuff up. You know, like, it's convenient.
Yeah, and see, that would be cool because those vehicles are, like, clean. Those bolts have been freshly put together.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, because I see them all the time, those videos of, like, rust belt cars.
Mm-hmm.
From like the Midwest.
Oh, dude, it's nuts.
Oh my god, like I see them. I'm like, how? Because living here in a desert, like, yeah, we do salt on our roads, but like our cars aren't nearly as rusty. They're not.
Some of those rust belt cars, like it's bad because you feel bad for them because they're such nice cars that like have a lot of like history, and it's like it'd be cool to find a car like that and restore.
Yeah, like the
but like they're not. They become to the point where they're not even worth it because the frame is so.
Done.
Gone.
Dude. Yeah, it's just done.
Yeah, at that point, you're just building a kit car.
Yeah, or like, there was that, what was that 1240 that was for sale, and the guy wanted like 10 grand for it, and like, it looked good on the outside, but when you got underneath, like, the shock mounts are like wiggling.
Yeah, the things that rust out on cars, it's crazy. I mean, a lot of it is points of like strain already.
Yeah.
So, like, the salt and all that attacks that part from.
Just, you know, like, I mean? The flexibility and the paint cracked or the sealant wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
The undercoating.
But yeah, it's also funny that there's people that never notice these things. And yeah. They never will. Like, there's people that are so oblivious to what they own and drive.
The car is the appliance.
And it's not a bad thing. Like, if you're not a car person, I get it. Like, but we're just... We've always talked about this. The fact that I wonder what my life would be like if I didn't care about the condition of my car.
Yeah.
Or to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, if I still got, like, my oil changes, whatever, took it in and did all this.
But it was just an appliance.
Not a hobby and, like, a way of, like, your life. Because
I see some people's, like when you see people load up a truck and they got, like, all this stuff in there and it's held in with, like,
twine,
a bungee cord.
Yeah.
Dude. And you're like, ugh.
Or people that'll hold their mattresses over the top of their car with their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't realize how much wind affects things.
Yeah, that wind is going to get under that mattress and just yoink.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I've seen it. I've driven behind people who lose their mattresses. Me and my brother drove over one time on 12th Street.
Oh, really?
Ran it over and dragged it for like half a block and then pulled over and pulled it out. And the people came back and their mattress was like all burned up from the exhaust of the car.
that's not good. And yeah, like...
But stuff like that. Like, people that don't understand like their cars, like we do.
Yeah. And we've talked about doing a separate episode just on cars because that's who we are.
And we understand that there's a lot of people that are just kind of... Not that they don't understand. It's just they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And their car is their appliance. It's their mode of transportation. And that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, I'm talking to you people that drive a Tercel.
Yeah, Tercel or drive a Camry with a dent.
The infamous.
Yeah, but I just...
That's another thing. If you're out this weekend...
So
this is a Friday. Play a little game called... Find the dent
in the Camry.
In the Camry,
because there is a Facebook page dedicated to it. Karina hates that I pointed it out, but Jayla loves it because she finds them.
It's true, though.
Like two out of—I swear—it's like two out of every three Toyota Camrys have a dent in the bumper in the corner.
Yes,
and you may not notice it right now, but once you notice it, you can't unsee it because
now that we've really told you, you're gonna notice it.
And it's like I never see people with Camrys getting the dent, but they just.
Always
they
have appear.
Yeah, they always have a dent in the corner. Or a dent in the front underneath the headlight. But the headlight's okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does that happen?
And if you find one without a dent, it's probably got a lot of, like, the clear coat peeling off.
Yeah.
the ones that look good in the paint are the ones that have the dents.
Yeah, the ones without the dent is the clear coat. And, yeah.
It's stuff like that. Like,
it's a car community thing. The dent in the bumper. What's another weird little quirky car thing?
Was it the old Buicks with like the saggy rear end because the bags blew out, the factory ones?
Yes, those and the old Lincolns.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? I don't know if it's a thing or not. Why do Buicks specifically? But it seems to be a lot of GM vehicles. Their running lights. There's always one that's orange and one that's like a faded orange. Like the corner mark. They're called corner markers. The little running lights, the amber ones that stay on when you turn your headlights on, but sometimes cars just have those on 24.
Yeah.
They don't match. I see a lot of Buicks.
That's in the wiring. That's in like the...
Well, no, like it's like the bulb is completely different. Like it's... One is like a dark amber and the other's like that guy's headlight, like almost. Like they don't match.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like it has to do with like the wiring.
Is it a wiring issue?
The wiring's jank because like it's drawing power to one more than the other. Like the wiring.
Oh, that's weird.
I've noticed that a lot.
Yeah,
And on a lot of those, I've actually changed bulbs, and it's not the bulbs.
No.
No.
It's the wiring.
It's the wiring.
Oh, what a terrible mishap.
Yeah, GM, step it up.
And then people hear of like recalls when somebody has a recall, like the whole Takata bag.
I've also seen it done like that because of traffic, like two-way roads, so that one of your lights isn't as dark as the other one, so that you don't blind the people.
Yeah, like I know that like
motorcycles do that. Like some I've seen a lot of like bullet bikes with that. If you look at their headlights, one of them's way brighter than the other.
I know that a lot of people don't know this, but your headlights, the driver's side one, which is toward the inside of the lane, whether you're left-handed driver or right-handed driver, it's aimed down, and the other one's aimed up, so that way you're not blinding oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that your car suspension is natural? It's a perfect alignment is set up to slowly pull to the right.
Yeah.
So that way, if you fall asleep at the wheel, you don't.
The wheel, it always goes to the right.
You don't go into oncoming traffic.
Yeah. And in Europe, it's done the other way.
Yeah. And what's another weird little quirky car fact that people don't know about? I don't know. I know there's other ones, but I can't think of them right now. But there's weird things that are...
The car community is, like, very niche.
Yeah, like it's very niche. When you get into it, it gets deep.
Like,
and
if you're not a car person, you don't get it. But if you're a car person, you know, like, you have the boomers with their muscle cars. And, like, you have the carbureted young kids motors. With, like, their... You have the Honda scene. You got, like, the Subaru kids. You have the Toyota snobs.
Yeah,
the BMW guys that can't turn a blinker on when they change lanes on the highway.
And
I think that should be universal. I think everybody should know that a lot of BMW drivers aren't very good.
Yeah, and the thing is if you're not in the car community, you wouldn't really care or know anything.
But I sometimes envy those people.
Yeah.
Because I drive in traffic and I look every car that I look at, for the most, I can identify it with just taillights, headlights, or a mirror.
God, like you could tell what car is coming toward you based off of just
the headlight,
how the headlight and how where the corner marker is on
it. Yes, or the fog lights.
Yeah,
and I do that a lot more than I care to admit. But like we'll be driving
every time,
or I'll hear a car. It won't even be near me.
Oh, we do that. Like there's always a car that's leaving at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And when we're sitting in bed, I'm like, oh, there goes the Honda. Yeah, and there's a Honda that pulls out of those apartments over there and takes off.
The Hondas, you recognize the V8s, you recognize the Power Strokes, the Cummins.
Oh, the dude, like, three houses down had, like, an automatic V8 Audi. And it was just... And it just sounded like total crap.
But you recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why, like, the car community is very...
And it's weird, too, because, like, the people that know the most are the ones that have the niche cars. Mm-hmm. Like, the weird specific thing. Like, I can tell you right now... That if somebody's like into Pontiac Fieros, they know more about all cars than somebody that's into Mustangs or Camaros. Because most Mustang Camaro people are just like, oh, I got V8. I don't need to know anything else. But like the guy that's got the Fiero can tell you the exact compression of what motor.
No, the thing about it is that the guy with the Fiero has a lot more problems.
Yeah, so he's got to troubleshoot him because he can't just Google him.
Yeah.
Another
guy with the LS that could just get parts off of a freaking Suburban and.
It's good. One that I've been looking into a lot lately, just because when I was towing, I was like, oh, I should just get a diesel. Like I went through that phase again. But
yeah, we all have.
I was sitting there and I was looking it up, and like I didn't know that the 12-valve Cummins, there's a certain engine block that you shouldn't get, and it was the one that was cast in Brazil. A normal person's going to look at it and be like, oh, I need a diesel. I'll go get this one.
I'll go get a Cummins.
But now that I know, if I'm looking at like a Cummins diesel, I think it's just the 12 valve. It might be the 24 valve. But I know the 12 valve, there's a block that was cast in Brazil that's prone to cracking, whether you're hard on the truck or not. It's prone to cracking just because the casting was thinner.
That's interesting.
And, I mean,
but technically, aren't all Cummins prone to cracking dashboards?
Yeah. And, sorry, yeah, there's, like, there's just weird little niches that, like, an average person's going to be like, okay, I don't need this, I don't need this. Like,
yeah,
just my truck's a 2012. The 2013 is the one with the lowest amount of recalls and the best, like, yeah, longevity and the least amount of problems.
Yeah, like, you tend to learn, like, things of, like, generations of where your motor was made and stuff like that. Like, mine's from Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, it was made this, like, in 02, towards the end of 02, 03, early. Like, you learn things like that, and people... There's people that live their lives without even knowing if, like, that there's a car that, like, their car was made differently.
Yeah. Never buy a first year of a new model.
Never.
That's always going to be the one that has the hiccups. But, like, the 240, it's got a K24 in it. They use that motor in the...
Sentras?
They use the... no, not in the Sentras. They used it in the Altimas, which is a front-wheel drive version. They used it in the hard-body pickups, and they used it in the Xterras.
Yeah.
But... only the 240s were cast and made in Japan. The rest were made in Mexico. And the Altima KA cannot be used, like, parts are not interchangeable with the other ones because it's transverse, so it sits sideways in the engine bay because of front-wheel drive. But the rest are all inline. But the Xterras and the hard bodies use a different intake manifold that won't work on this one.
Because and of so, the engine bay and stuff like that and all that jazz.
Yeah, and so... like,
well, that and, like, they use a lot of different, like, emissions control stuff on their on Japan cars as opposed to American cars.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, like, that motor was specific for North America.
Yeah.
You think that Nissan would have just made the motor in Mexico with the rest of them because they're all made there. But because it's, like, it was one of their flagship vehicles, they wanted to take the process of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in return, that means I can't just go to the junkyard and get a new camshaft off of an Xterra or something. Off of a
Nissan Altima.
Yeah, I have to order the specific one for it, and it just makes my headache much worse.
But that's what people don't like. People are always like, well, if that motor's in this truck, why don't we just take the one off of that one? It's not that easy.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's an LS.
Well, even then, the heads are different. Like, you got, like, the
heads are different,
the penthouse head, and then you got, like, the
ports.
Yeah, the cathedral port.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Then, yeah, then obviously, like, an LS, what is the LS4, the transverse one? Front wheel drive one that was in the Monte Carlos.
It was in the Monte Carlos, and I think they did it in, like, the Cadillacs.
Yeah, so that one you can't do because it sits sideways. So everything on it's different.
But like the intake manifold's different, like the exhaust runner.
Water pumps on the other side or whatever. Yeah. And so, like,
it's things like that that people don't realize when they look at a car. But, like, I lose sleep over stuff like that just thinking about my own stuff that I want to.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's
weird. So if you ever have an issue like this with somebody that's fixing your car or something, just realize, you know, life is hard when you work on cars.
Yeah, and if before you have any issues and you take it to, like, the dealership to get something fixed, just Google it and see if other people have problems with that same thing, because they might have a fix. Like that hot water heater in the trailer. I was like, oh, crap, because the thermocouple was reading good and all the sensors were reading good. And I was like, what is wrong with this? And I Googled it, and everybody's like, oh, the motherboard shorts out. I pulled the board out, and it was shorted out.
You would genuinely be surprised with how many people run into the same problems that you do on that same car.
Yeah, especially if you have a common car, like an Accord or like a Toyota Tacoma or something. Yeah. Like
if you have a car that's like super special and rare, like you should
You have a Ferrari and you have a problem.
Take it to the dealership.
Yeah, if you have a Ferrari and you're having like a charging problem, you probably take it to the dealership because you're going to screw something up if you don't.
But like it's crazy how people... there's still people that don't know.
Like that Google exists.
Like people that get their batteries jumped, but not all vehicles can get it jumped the same way because
how
nowadays, like the computer's all set up. Like you could fry a computer without even trying nowadays.
What's the weird? Oh, did you know? Random fact. Did you know that newer BMWs, you have to have like a subscription for the heated seats, and if you don't pay the monthly subscription, they turn off your heated seats.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, if I'm buying a $50,000 car, everything on it should work out of the book.
My ass better be warm.
I shouldn't have to have a subscription for my car. Like, this subscription thing is getting out of hand. First, it was okay with, like, oh, I want to take and get a subscription for, like, Netflix.
It's basically like a warranty.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be way the same. Because, let's say, like,
well, you're paying for the subscription, so if you don't have...
if you have the subscription, it stops working. They should cover it, shouldn't they?
You would think. But it's just an activation subscription. It's like Netflix. You don't pay it, you don't get it. That's how it's set up. Well, your XM satellite radio.
Stupid.
Yeah. And so it's like, if I bought a brand new BMW.
There's a lot of companies that have been doing that.
Like, I know.
Like, not just like car companies with that subscription, but like, for example, there's like a whole big thing with John Deere. That they were, that their newer models, like for agriculture, weren't, people weren't able to fix their own stuff or diagnose it.
Yeah, you couldn't
diagnose. Because they were locking the program and they wouldn't let you work on your own stuff.
Yeah, if I'm going
to
pay
the,
like.
There was like a giant case about it with like farmers against John Deere where there was like the right to work or something.
Yeah, the right to fix or whatever.
Right to fix or something. And they were, so there's people out there that are actually hacking them. The John Deere stuff, which voids your warranty, but it's like...
It makes it easier for day-to-day
stuff. So these farmers are literally going out there and learning how to hack computers in order to keep their business going.
Yeah. Because the like, everybody's like, oh, it's a tractor. No, like, the new tractors are very complex because they got, like, all the GPS stuff.
Yeah, they got the GPS.
They, like, self-drive.
Yeah.
They automatically adjust. They got
satellite locations for, like, all that, like...
They automatically adjust the level.
Self-steer. They can read the precipitation in the air while they're driving to say, okay... Should probably stop seeding now.
Yeah,
it's gonna rain. Or they're up there. That, but that also, like, with how people have become nowadays, like, nobody, not everybody can afford to take their vehicle to a dealership.
Yeah,
but like they were locking out their programs and making it so that you couldn't work on.
You had to go to John Deere.
But if you come to think about it, companies have been doing that for years.
Yeah,
when I used to work at an actual shop. Mercedes, like, they wouldn't sell parts to distributors. You'd have to go to Mercedes dealership service place to get hard metal parts for the transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't allow other companies to produce their parts because Mercedes is, that's theirs.
Mercedes.
But, like, a lot of companies do that, you know? Like, you can't just go buy, like, BMW you can, but, like, there's a lot of these manufacturers that won't let you get a fuel filter or, like, a oil filter without it being from them originally. Yeah,
and it's ridiculous. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if I could always fix my parts with
genuine OEM stuff,
yeah, I would. But I'm not going to pay the price for it.
But therein lies the problem with a lot of these things that where they do that, it's they won't make the part better unless it's a recall.
Yeah.
But, like, you have a lot of these parts that they're selling you that it's going to fail the same way.
Yeah.
So, like, you have companies that will go out and make this part stronger, make this part, you know, thicker. But therein lies the company that won't let the prints go out for other companies to make the parts so that they can keep making these parts that are made weak. So you have to keep
going back. And that's like whenever I have to get a part for, let's say, the truck, I have to get the part. I'll call like AutoZone or whatever. And then I'll call the dealership because like that oil pressure sensor I needed for my truck.
Mm-hmm.
It was $4 more for the one from Ford.
So why not, right?
Yeah, so why wouldn't I get that one? But at the same time, like, I'm not going to take and go to the dealership for, I don't know, like a
like fuel filter. Like a body clip.
Yeah, or like a fuel filter that it's going to be the same anyways, especially if you can find, like, certain aftermarket parts are made by the same manufacturer as the OEM one.
Yeah.
But there's the markup of, like, 20% because
it's
the
thing
dealership.
That's the thing that the dealerships are getting a lot of, like, and like the reason the dealerships, I think, still sell the stuff is because you do have the people that are more comfortable going to the dealership and it's like, oh, you know,
it's under warranty.
Car, it's under warranty. Or yeah, like that. Like the warranty has a lot to do with it. But these people feel comfortable going to a dealership opposed to like AutoZone where you have a 16-year-old asking you if it's an automatic or a manual for wiper blades.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, we've all been there. You know, you got to learn. But. It's also the comfort that goes behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You feel comfortable going to a dealership where, like, these guys are professionals. This is the company that built the car. Why wouldn't I trust them, right?
Yeah.
But if you start learning more about cars and you realize
that... Yeah.
I rarely go to the dealership for anything.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, when I went there, because I'm like, I have to go get Joe from school. The dealership's, like, right on the street. Okay, I'll go get that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, when that oil light came on, it scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah, driving it?
Yeah, driving it, all of a sudden, my oil pressure just dropped. I'm like, uh-oh. So I hurried up and turned it off. I was like, oh, crap. And then, like, I was like, what the hell? Why is the oil pressure, like, dead? And I was like, how'd my oil pump go out? And I'm sitting there looking at it, and, like, I when I got home, because I drove it back and the oil pressure was fine. I'm like, that was weird. When I started back up, it was fine. I was like, okay. So I get home and it does it as I'm pulling in the driveway. I'm like, ah. I'm like, well, I got in the driveway, turned it off or whatever. And then I opened the hood and looked in there and everything. What it was is I had a, when I had changed my oil, I had dripped a little bit of oil down the side of the block and it got into the plug. And so it was just shorting out. And so I was like, okay, I unplugged it and I went to clean it out and it broke the clip off the plug. Because the plastic was brittle.
That's the one that when you text me.
And so I'm like, shit. Yeah, and so I'm like, shit. Because it broke the clip part on the harness side. I'm like, well, let's just get a new sensor, clean this one out. And so I went and got a new sensor, cleaned it out and everything so it was all clean and fresh. Mm-hmm. So I put it back in, but the clip won't stay in place.
Yeah.
So I just did the zip ties like that and then the two that hold the place. There. And I mean, I would like to eventually like fix that.
But that's the difference between you and somebody that doesn't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Is the fact that if I fix something janky like that on my vehicle, at least I know that that's what it was.
Yeah. I know it's janky, but it's fixed.
But, well, it'll get you home.
Yeah.
Or until you can fix it properly. But if it's a fix like that, that you know, okay, all it needs to do is hold this, it'll do the job perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not as if you're sitting there putting zip ties on your, like, axle shaft to hold it together.
Yeah, no.
You're not, like, trying to hold the drivetrain together with paper clips. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's something that you're doing.
It's a small sensor, long as it's holding the sensor into place. It's not even the sensor, it's the plug.
It's
holding the plug together.
There's janky that'll get you home and safely, and then there's just janky that you're doing to save, like, dollars, and it's going to risk your life.
Yeah. Because, like, it's up there. I'm not going to be able to just easily get to it.
Yeah.
And in order to fix it, I have to replace the plug on the harness side.
And that point involves cutting wires.
Cutting wires, soldering, and like putting shrink wrap around that and everything so it's like watertight and it's not just going to disintegrate. And I'm having to do all that while it's like, it's literally in the middle of that engine bay because it's below the head, but it's above like the four wheel drive system and everything. So it's in there.
Uh-huh.
And that's just not the simplest thing to get to. Like if I pull the motor out and like, I'm like doing a motor swap, then I'll fix it while it's there.
It's going to take like a couple days to do, and it's like it's going to take, you know, some time. It's not like something that you can do in like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like the mass airflow sensor, when that clip broke and it just wouldn't hold it into place.
Yeah, yeah.
That was easy because it was just right there. But that's the thing. Like everybody's always afraid. This is advice to people that don't know about vehicles. When you open that hood and you're like, yeah. A lot of people open the hood to their car and they just get overwhelmed by everything because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
If you're changing your air filter, just like learn the flow of air on a vehicle and that'll save you a lot of problems. Because you're changing an air filter, all you got to look for is the air box. You can ignore everything else.
So the simplest thing that I've ever learned from vehicles, like, and this is what I kind of tell people that are always like, well, I don't know what it is on my car. There's something that it's like, there's only three things that you need to make your car run. Well, not three things that'll make it run, but three essential things to look into when you're looking for why my car's not running or why is it running weird. It's fuel, air, and spark.
Yeah.
As long as I have those things, I mean, unless you're electric, which is just, you know.
It's own thing.
But, like, fuel, air, and spark. So, like, you kind of track it down that way. As long as you're getting those things, there's really not a lot of reasons why your car shouldn't run.
Yeah. Because if it's not running and you have those three things, usually there's a telltale noise.
Yeah.
Clackety, clackety, clack. Like,
or like your belt's sitting on the floor.
Yeah. But they're really not hard. And with Google now.
It saves a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And with Google now, I feel like with Google.
Unless you have like a brand new vehicle that's probably still under warranty, so don't worry about it. That issue's going to be on the internet.
Yeah. Learn to work on it. Save yourself a penny. And you learn something.
I literally looked up somebody else's vehicle on the internet and found answers before they have.
Yeah. People, somebody will ask me something at work.
They don't think so.
Yeah.
They don't think it's.
Somebody will ask me something at work about why their car's not running. And I'll literally Google the exact symptom and it'll pop up and tell me what it is. And like what this person, forums. Yeah. They'll be like, oh yeah, my 01 Chevy
Equinox
is doing this.
Doing this or that. It's
What's the symptoms? Oh, Equinox. And then you put in the check engine light.
Even if you put in like a code that you get from like an AutoZone.
Yeah. Oh, cylinder 2 misfire. Okay. Well, take the spark plug out and look at it.
Or there's YouTube videos of people.
Yeah, and then this, that, that's the thing is you don't know where the spark plug is.
I've watched YouTube videos of people rebuilding motors or transmissions.
Yeah.
It's all on the internet.
It's all on the internet. And so just, okay, so you don't know where the spark plug is. You can either Google where the spark plug is.
And it'll pull up a whole picture that you're looking at of your engine bay, and it'll put every little label on every spot.
Yeah, like, and then you're like, okay, it's that one. So you take and you back that, go to Harbor Freight and get like a $30 set of tools, back that spark plug out.
The thing,
and then Google what a good spark plug should look like versus like an oil fouling or something like that. And then,
the thing I tell people is like, you should always have a set of tools no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Even if you don't work on cars, you should always at least be somewhat prepared for some form situation. Of wrenching.
Yeah.
You're not rich. If you're rich, you know, don't even worry about it. Have somebody pull your car, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you need to at least have a basic understanding and respect of the thing that's this giant machine that's throwing you across this world so you can go to work.
Yeah. This machine that's heavy as hell, you got your family in it, you're going 70 on the freeway, you should kind of have an idea.
You should have an idea and a respect for it, because vehicles, they're essentially
they're a living machine.
Yeah, stuff and working, and so yeah.
They need love. Don't put off a maintenance that you know you should do because it's working fine at the time.
And clean out your cars, people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you that. The amount of cars that I've ever worked on that have, like, stacks of McDonald's bag in the back seat and just, like, cups everywhere, and it's just, it's not a good thing. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Clean your cars out.
Yeah.
Don't keep stacking your Starbucks receipts in the cup holder.
Yeah.
And saying, I'll take it out tomorrow.
Karina was on this thing where she was watching this girl like detail cars and everything like that, and like that's satisfying, dude.
Oh, I can get into watching people detail cars. I can't detail my truck for the life of me. I keep it clean enough to where I don't have to, but some of these people that go through and like brush like the rug and like all these little corners, and like
the one that gets me is, have you ever seen those ones that's like it was a super heavy smoker and they just cigarette butts all over. It's like, how are you not afraid of a fire?
And like a tan interior.
Yeah, but then they clean it and it wasn't supposed to be tan.
No, dude, the amount of people that like live their houses like that they aren't afraid of fires.
Yeah.
Like there was a lady that lived by my brother's house that her house burned down to the ground and she died in it because her whole basement where she lived, she was a hoarder, full of newspapers.
Yeah.
Basically kindling, bro. You basically built a matchbox around you.
You built yourself a campfire.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And she like, that. There's video or like pictures that my sister-in-law has of it, of the house when it was on fire. And you can see the basement just like white.
Erupting with just
from just hot. Fire, dude.
It's hot.
And it burned the house to the ground. Now it's just an empty lot.
God, like that stresses me out. Like there's a weird part of me that's interested in watching people that are hoarders live their life like that. But then like I get disgusted by it. And I'm like, oh my God, there's gotta be like
it's
the ones that have like the 50 cats too.
It certainly makes me feel a lot better about the mess in my house.
Yeah, the mess in my life is not hoarder mess.
Cause that's the when they have pets or they have like family members that try to live with them, like it's rough, dude.
Oh, there was a certain site that deals with Ogden specific things on Facebook.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It talks, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
there was a specific site, and somebody that I'm not going to name names. I don't remember the actual person who posted it either. I couldn't find it.
I'd tag you in.
But they said something about like their neighbor had like 50 people living in like a 2-bedroom house, and there was people living in like a trailer in the backyard and in the car in the backyard.
That's crazy.
How? Like, I get that, like, you need a place to live in. Let's say you're helping somebody get back on their feet, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you got to learn to draw a line somewhere.
It's just so much traffic. Just so much traffic in a house.
Yeah.
Especially with 2
bedrooms. And then, like,
the amount of garbage that would accumulate over 50 people living in a house.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's just
it's unsanitary. Baffling.
Yeah, it's unsanitary. And then you're like, I don't want to be this person, but the first thing I think of when I see a mess like that is, like, you have rats and roaches.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be near me, because then I'm going to have to deal with fighting off rats and roaches.
And it's rough, dude.
I've seen a big mouse before in a parking lot of a undisclosed store. And
what was it?
Walmart.
Just say it.
I saw a rat run across a Walmart parking lot one time, and it wasn't like a, it wasn't a mouse. It was a rat, and it wasn't a small one.
I classify a rat as anything bigger than like a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
this thing was like anything smaller than that, I think is still kind of, it could be.
It was like Beto burrito size.
Jesus.
It was a
like
big,
like a Texano.
Yeah, it was Jeez. it was a chonky boy mouse, and it was running across the parking lot, and it was good enough. Because I was, it was nighttime. It was
good enough to set off the door thing to open.
And I'm like, that's gross. Whatever. But it started running toward a restaurant, which I won't disclose the restaurant name. I won't tell you what. You can guess all you want. I'm not going to tell you what Walmart it was either.
Oh,
see, because okay, I didn't tell you when I saw it. It wasn't like a last week.
He didn't
thing.
Tell you guys either. So now we're all guessing.
Yeah, there's three Walmarts that I would.
Stay away from.
No, there's three Walmarts in the area of me from 18 to now have visited on a common occurrence. So it's either the one that way, the one over there, or the one right here. But I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
That's typically the three directions that it would be.
Yeah.
Here, there, or over there.
Yeah, well, it's not right here. It's not over yonder. But so I remember walking out and seeing it. And I'm like, that's gross. And so I just stopped buying food from that, like, entire block. I'm like, nope, don't need to do that. Because, like, I know that, like, bugs get into food. I know that, like, mice get into places. But I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it. Yeah, I don't want to look down and see, like, there was a mouse nibbling on my cheeseburger. Like, that's gross.
Yeah, no.
But I know that it's there, but if I don't think about it, it's not that bad. Like, I know that flies get into places. I've seen those time-lapse of flies on meat, and then all of a sudden maggots appear, like, a day later.
I always get weirded out when they land near me, and I'm like, it's probably been on my cup.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to think about that, but... And so it's like, if I don't know what's there, ignorance is bliss.
There's a certain amount of mystery that's very soothing to my brain. Just like you always hear these people that's like, oh, so-and-so place, like you should see what they do in the back kitchen. I would never eat there. And that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's cool. You've seen it? I haven't.
I haven't. I still like their food.
I haven't seen somebody peeing in the drain at a Beto's here.
Yeah.
But I've heard about it.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't know. It could have just been that one bad employee. And the rest are all up to par, whatever the case may be.
You always get a certain vibe from a place that you go to, though.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's something that it's like, okay, that place was already dubious. Yeah. I don't want to go there. Yeah, but if it's something that's like, it's a McDonald's. If it's 3 a.m. and I need something to eat before I go home.
Don't tell me about it.
I don't need to know.
And the ignorance is bliss thing. It's just like the politics. Like I've been diving too deep into like what's going on in the world.
And it can be
stressful. It's stressful.
Well, that and it can also like ruin your mood.
Yeah,
it can make you irritable.
It can be like fucking.
Because I did the same thing a while back when I started diving into politics and like wars in other countries and stuff just to see because you never hear about it. It's happening but you don't hear about it.
Yeah,
so like I did that for a bit and it made me depressed, dude. It made me sad. It made me like just irritable than the fact that nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to deal with that. Am I gonna have to deal with it? I don't know. Like, I mean, unless like example, the whole issue with like, have you heard about the issue with Sri Lanka right now?
Yeah
a lot of people don't know about it. Most people don't know where Sri Lanka is on a map.
But you know what people do know? That Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson broke up. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah, it's ignorance is bliss. The world is perfect if you don't know all the bad stuff going on. But if you know about the bad stuff, you're like, this place sucks. Yeah. And so, like, the thing with politics.
Oh, wow, this place is not very good.
I don't care what party you are. Hold every politician to the same standard. Don't just favor your guy because he's your guy. But also, don't critique every, and if that's the thing, if you're going to critique one, critique them all to the same standard.
If you're going
to
critique politics, critique all form of government.
Yeah,
like don't just think
everyone that should be held to the same standard.
Don't just think that where you're looking is the only place causing you problems.
Your guy is not perfect, neither is my guy.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder what it'd be like to just not care.
What, to like live in a country where you don't care?
Well, no, just to be ignorant and not care.
Yeah.
Like, how nice.
Oblivious to the world other than what's right in front of you.
Yeah, to just be like, well, I gotta start my knitting circle and...
But see, that's like a... I feel like we benefited the fact that we live in a country where your biggest problem is what you're gonna have for dinner.
Yeah.
You don't have somebody that's going to, like, murder you in the middle of the night that you don't know about, and you live in fear.
Or you worry about, like, some random radical group taking over your government.
Yeah, or, like...
I mean, it's kind of
like knowing
here,
knowing that, like, your country's in war right now, like, you know, that your siblings are going off and fighting. Like, I mean, it could be, like, your family's in military, whatever.
Yeah, but,
it's... Being in this country, you benefit a little bit more. And for the people listening that are in other countries...
Yeah, we see you, random Ireland person.
I know. I know y'all going through stuff over there, too.
Yeah, like, and it's shitty. And it's shitty, and if you have to deal with it, you can't be ignorant, and you need to know all the details. But at the same time, like...
I feel like in this country, we focus more on problems that only affect your comfort level and not so much your...
Survival level.
Your personal...
Beliefs,
dude.
Like, I mean, there are some of those that are coming up now, and it's
there are
like,
some of those, which, yeah.
Another thing is just, like, the... People are so... I need to pick a side on everything. They don't look at the bigger picture. It's like example, Democrat, Republic, whatever one you pick, Democrat or Republican, cup of tea. Like, there's some people that are so like, I'm on this side, nothing that side can do right. But what about there should be a middle ground. If you go swing one direction way too hard and then try to go the other direction,
Are you tell people, are you happy that this is going on with your politician? It's like, no, I'm not happy and you aren't either. So we're both unhappy. Stop.
Yeah, like hold them all to the same standard and know that they're a politician. When it comes down to it, they're a politician. None of them shit rainbows.
And if you're going to vote, don't just vote for one politician. Make sure that you vote for all the ones that make a difference because you got senators that have been sitting there for like 30 plus years holding a check.
Yeah,
you don't realize that they're the ones that are telling you what to do.
Yeah, those are the ones that are actually more influential.
But anyway, okay, no, that's enough.
Yeah, let's not do politics. Okay.
No more politics.
All right, we honestly should wrap this one up because this one's over an hour.
Yeah, you guys are listening to us rant at this point.
This is
at this point we just watched. We just hung out with you while you did the dishes or did laundry.
Yeah, so. This was the most rantiest rant of no specific rant.
No rants. Yeah, but
take care, guys.
We appreciate your time. Hope we didn't dwell too much into something that you might make you not want to listen to us anymore.
Should I do the YouTube thing?
Don't forget to
leave a like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.
And you know what? Tell your friends and family about this.
Yeah. If you enjoy this, give us a recommendation because we are local Utah people.
I'd also like to give a big shout out to like the truck drivers that keep the country fed. My one of my cousins drives a truck and delivers stuff, and so if this gets to any other truck drivers, you know, spread the word, you know.
Yeah.
We support you for you supporting us.
Yes, we're just a couple yahoos. Couple yahoos in Utah. If you live in Utah and you listen to us, or anywhere you live, get on Facebook and give us a suggestion of something you want us to cover.
Yeah, that goes for all the regulars, too. If you got any suggestions, drop them in the comments, you know.
Give us a like, subscribe, and, you know, hit that notification bell.
Yeah, tip your waiters.
Yes. Always wash your hands after the bathroom.